Hi, this is Belinda Long, and I am a Parents Tool Shop Group Facilitator. Today I'm covering allowances and chores, and should they be tied together? I'm going to put my camera on just to wave and say hello to everybody if you can see me. Hi. So if you're going to be getting the recording, then if you have questions, feel free to email us. And we'll answer any additional questions you may have about the topic. But today I'm going to be covering some things about chores and allowances. The main reason giving an allowance for chores backfires, we're going to find that out. We're going to also talk about a three-tier allowance chore system that actually works. And then we're also going to discuss how to get children to do chores without nagging or dangling incentives that get bigger and bigger. So that's the what we're going to be discussing today. I'm going to put my camera away and go to my desktop to show a few things. And so, is giving an allowance for helping with the household chores a good way to teach children money management? So you probably have heard stories such as this that I'm going to read a little bit here about. You've been giving children money for doing chores. You have company coming over and need to get the house straightened up quickly. So you ask the children to help pick up the living room while you clean the bathrooms. The first response you hear is, "How much will you pay?" So your other child chimes in and they say, "Yeah, that's not included in what we do for our allowance." So you become frustrated and annoyed because you're in no mood to negotiate and you just want the house to be cleaned up as quickly as you can so that it's ready for the company to come. So I don't know if any of you've had any of that kind of experience or not, but that is a typical scenario that might happen when you are tying chores and an allowance together. Children expect to get paid for doing any chore that they're going to do, no matter what kind of chore it is or when it's going to need to be done. So, allowances are a controversial practice for developing responsibility, and some parents view allowances as a privilege that children earn, while others view it as a family member's right. So most parents connect allowance to chores, but this often will lead to problems when you do that. So both allowances and chores teach life skills. So allowances teach children money management, so they learn how to earn, save, budget, and prioritize purchases. And chores can teach cooperation or responsibility by pitching in as a member of the family, following through on agreements, and doing quality work. Separately, each is a valuable tool, but when combined, that's when the problems arise. So it's sort of like giving your child this money to do their chores. So when you pay children for chores, children often do the chore only for the money. They are not doing it to help as a family member. So consequently, money is the value, not the cooperation. So then when you ask the child to do an extra job or accept more responsibility, then the child starts asking, "Well, what's in it for me?" And so they become a negotiator and they want to increase the amount of money they're going to get for doing additional chores. So, and then if children don't complete a chore, or if perhaps they don't care even about the money, then the chore doesn't get done. And and yes, there's children that don't care about the money. So especially if they feel like if it's it's something that's controlling them. So you want your children to learn that jobs can earn money, since that is the way real world works. I mean, we go into our job or go and we do something to make money to pay for the things that we need for our family, you know, of food, clothing, and our housing. So we do need to make some kind of income. However, we do a lot of things out in the real world that don't require payments. So, such as like washing our dishes or doing the laundry. You know, we don't get paid to go and do all that ourselves. Unless you are hiring somebody to do that for you, then you typically don't get paid to, you know, do your dishes or fold your laundry or, you know, do the wash. So those we have want to teach the ch teach children, you know, yes, we need to make do something to make a living and make income. However, as part of our just na normal day-to-day routines, the things that we do for the family, we don't get paid for. So that's a value you may be interested in teaching your children. So you can meet the goals for teaching responsibility, money management, and cooperation without the negative side effects by following a three-level plan for chores and allowances. And the lower levels of this plan have no connection between allowance and chores. Children have the responsibility simply because they're a family member. And I'm going to show you a chore chart. Look, no, that's not it. There we go. This is an allowance chore chart. And that you can see that there's three different levels. Level one is for just daily family upkeep. And then the allowance, if you choose to have an allowance, some families don't even have an allowance. But if you choose to have an allowance, then you can just have them separate. You don't coordinate. If you do this chore, you get this base allowance. You just are giving them the base allowance so that they can start learning how to do money management and to plan and save for different things. And the consequence that you want to teach with this level one is that it's work before play. So that's the big key here is that we call it grandma's rules with in Parents Tool Shop, the work before play rule. I got I wanted to say a little bit more about the level one base allowance here. This is teaching you give the base allowance just like I mentioned earlier, just for the purpose of teaching children money management. If children don't manage their money, then you let them experience the consequences of so if they take all their money, their allowance at this level, and they just go and spend it on you know, a candy or something. And of course, you probably have rules for how much candy or whatever that they may eat, or they buy a toy that they want right away with that allowance, and then later on they're wanting something else. Instead of rescuing them and giving them more money to buy that second item that they'd like, you let them naturally see the consequence of not having the money to pay for that second item that they really want, and then they can save up for it the next time with their with earning their having their allowance. They're not really earning an allowance at this level one. They'll start earning money then at level two, but I'm not to that level yet. So anyhow, so if they spend their money carelessly, then they have to just wait until they can save up some more of their allowance to get the next item that they'd like. And then there's other families that they give a base allowance even for like their school lunches. So then the children can take that base allowance, and then and that's something that we had someone comment on the that they actually take the base allowance that they give their children, and they have to use that money here. They take their 10 weeks, $10 per week for their lunch money, and they decide if they want to buy a hot lunch or if they want to go and buy groceries with it. And then they can decide how much they spend. And it teaches them not only budgeting with their base allowance, but also then they can take some of that money if they don't use it all and save it. So if they go to the store, if it's $2 a day for lunch, and then they're for the hot lunch, then they're going to use the whole $10. You know, 2 times 5 days a week would be $10. But if they go to the grocery and decide they want to do, you know, get something else that might not cost as much, then they can actually save some money. And here she shared that her 13-year-old son even discovered that he could buy a box of brownie mix and make a pan of brownies that he could cut and freeze to be eaten over a 2-week period of time. So then it saves him money, and then he can use that saved money on something else. So let me go back to this. So there's some, you can be think of different ways to help your children learn how to use their base allowance to work for them, so that they can learn to do those budgeting skills, and then also save for things that they really'd like to have. So then with the chores, the level one chores, that type of thing would be including such things as making your own lunch and keeping the room neat and clean, helping maybe with vacuuming or dusting. That would be like a level one chore that they would do on a weekly basis, is the vacuuming and dusting. But keeping their room neat and clean and things like that, then that's all included in a level one type chore, where they have to just keep up on their own personal chores, keeping their belongings picked up in the family areas, and then possibly rotating a chore such as vacuuming or dusting or doing the dishes with family members. That could be. So that's the type of just doing things to help with family chores around the house. And then if the consequence for that would, instead of docking your allowance with this level one, would be that they need to do the chore before play. So it's work before play. I believe I already mentioned that. So that's the key there, is to, and you don't have to harp on it. You just say, you know, well, when you finish the, you know, finish straightening up your room, then you can. So it's not that you don't have to keep nagging at them. So they then, you may have to teach some skills, some independent skills, so that they know how to pick up their room efficiently and to a certain degree that you are, that it's acceptable, and you would want to use some independent tools for that. Where did that go? Here. And so some of the independence tools that you would want to use are like teaching skills rather than just taking over. Openly modeling behavior. So that's actually talking through and explaining step by step something that really can't be visibly seen. Doing something together. Like if the openly model behavior might be teaching them to not procrastinate. So you could say, oh, I really don't enjoy doing this chore, but you know, the dishes really need to get done, so that we can then finally take a break and play a game together. The sooner I get this done, the sooner we can go play a game together. So that would be sort of like openly modeling, you know, not procrastinating. And actually doing something together till you, so that you can teach them the skills. Giving a quick tip instead of, you know, I told you this, how many times have I said this? So giving a quick tip, say, you know, when I do this, it seems to go better when I do this. So words like that. Let them try to do it on their own, within some limits. Noticing the difficulty of us doing a chore, asking their opinion on how they think the chore could go easier, and then wait before answering questions. Sometimes they ask questions because they're just thinking out loud. So waiting before you give them the answer sometimes, and then nudging them without pushing. Those are some independence tools from our from the independence tool set that you could use with teaching children how to be doing chores independently. So let's see here. So back here to the allowance chart. So then after you have the base chore, level one, the daily family upkeep for, as the chores, and then the allowances, the base allowance. Then once they have done that, then you can move into level two, allowances and chores. And this is getting having them be more responsible for bigger jobs. And perhaps it's less often. However, they can earn some money for doing it. So the level two, they're earning more money. The children, they can accept additional responsibilities beyond just self-care and base chores. And these chores are usually more difficult or need to be done less often than the daily chores. The level two chores might include doing laundry, weeding, washing windows, washing the car, mowing the lawn, and things of that nature. And it can also include doing chores for other neighbors and other family members. So they don't, the money doesn't have to necessarily come out of your own pocket for these bigger jobs that they can earn money for. So perhaps there's a neighbor that they could mow a lawn for once they get to a certain age, or perhaps there's a neighbor that they can help wash their vehicle, and then they would get some extra money or do some kind of odd job around the house. So that is not on a regular basis that needs to be done, but that it's a bigger job that's that they can actually earn some money for. And then the consequence of not doing these extra jobs, these bigger jobs, could be that they don't receive the money for those jobs. So and then, of course, somebody wouldn't have to, would need to be doing the job. However, then, but the child would not be receiving any additional money for doing those chores. And then the third level is they're really wanting to save for purchases. They have something big in mind that they want to save for. So, and this actually is where you get into doing jobs for others even more. So children want to save for a large purchase so that they do level three jobs. These are like one time or several times a year chores, perhaps like cleaning a closet, raking leaves, helping with landscaping or painting projects. Level two and three chores teach children the value of earning money through increased responsibilities. So you can consider having them, like I mentioned earlier, you can consider having them do chores for family, other family members and neighbors. Okay. So that is the level one, two, and three for the allowance and chores. Does anyone have any questions? Do you have any questions about that right now?
Okay, is anybody else on the line?
Let's see here. Did you have any question, Mihaela?
So basically, what are you saying is within our family, we need to teach them to help without giving them anything else in change, like money or something. But if there is anybody else who needs help, like neighbors or whatever, they can accept any money or whatever.
They could, if that's something that the neighbor is willing to do, or sometimes you can even teach that your child to just help your neighbors as well. But if they're wanting to make money, you can help them brainstorm ways that they could make that money instead of it coming directly out of your pocket, or if to be related to the chore. Because when you start relating the money to the everyday
Okay,
chores,
yeah, I understand. It's not good. But like, what time should we start involving them in house activities? Like, I don't know, cleaning the dishes and, arrange his room. Like, what time do you think is appropriate to?
Right, that's a good question. Actually, I have a chore list here that I was going to share, and it's
Because I didn't, I'm on the phone and I didn't see your chart. I don't
that's
see your
okay.
chart. What?
That no, that's
Yeah, so.
fine. You can and you can hopefully be able to get the recording from the archive
Yeah,
page.
yeah,
But
yeah, yeah, yeah.
the age appropriate chores, I have a list of age appropriate chores that Shannon Rios. She is the author. What's the name of this book again? The 7 Fatal Mistakes Divorced and Separated Parents Make. However, this chore list is, good for any parent. You don't have to be a divorced or separated parent. But this is actually a book, and she's given us permission to reuse it and share it with the parents that we serve at Parents Tool Shop. So, but. She has an age-appropriate chores for children list, and I'll put the link to it. I believe I sent that in an email to you specifically, Mihaela, but I'm going to put it in. I don't know if I put it in the any meeting. I don't know if it'll show up in the recording or not. I'm not positive about that. So, but anyhow, I'll. Maybe include that when I put it on the archive page, the link to this chore chart too. But it says that for ages 2 to 3, like picking up toys and books, throwing away trash in the waste basket, putting laundry in the correct place, like in the hamper, helping feed a family pet for ages 2 to 3. Ages 3 to 4, things such as helping set the table, help care for a family pet, put toys, their own toys away. Age 4 to 5, making bed with help, setting the table, bringing in mail, getting dressed by themselves, emptying the waste basket, and then, personal hygiene, like brushing hair, teeth, and getting dressed, which that was already said up above. But in any of the things below that age group, they would be able to do as well. And then age 5 to 6, she ha suggests having them make their bed. And it may not be less than perfect, but making their bed, making sure their bedroom is picked up, caring for the family pet, answering the telephone, watering plants, putting their clean clothes in the drawers or closets. And then ages 6 to 8, she recommends that they use an alarm clock to wake up so that you're not the one having to wake them up, that they're relying on themselves to set their alarm and wake up. Helping pack their cold lunch, how to wash theirself and keep theirself clean. Rinsing dirty dishes and loading them into the dishwasher, taking phone messages, cleaning their bedroom, and help with the kitchen cleanup, wiping down the sink in the bathroom after they use it. And then 8 to 12, she suggests that they can bring out the garbage for pickup. So like on trash night, taking out the trash cans, washing and drying dishes. Vacuuming, cleaning kitchen counters and sink, and then caring for a pet, running the dishwasher, and cleaning the bathroom. And then 12 and older, she says that they can be babysitting siblings for short periods of time, changing bed sheets, shoveling snow, washing and drying clothes, and then assisting with preparing meals. So these are just some suggestions that she's offering. Your family may, each individual family may have different chores that they feel would be beneficial for each age level. So, but these are some just basic chores that would be appropriate that could on the base level for that age group. And then, like I said, you could have more than this on your child's list, depending on what you would like to teach them. And
Okay.
then there are some if you want to teach children that also how to do chores without the nagging and dangling incentives, you want to use a cooperation skills. And there is an article on the website on how do I teach children to clean up their messy rooms that has some ideas that is not only for cleaning up messy, but also helping their everyday chores. Children, by nature, they just want to have fun, and within that fun, they end up getting, toys scattered throughout the whole house, and they just want to play. And even if they're supposed to be putting things away, they end up starting to get distracted with the toys again at times. So sometimes it seems it can take hours for children to pick up. So, and in actuality, as adults, we know, it shouldn't take as long as that. But so when you are noticing that it's taking children a long time, you can have a discussion with them and brainstorm ways that they could try to help make things move along quicker. So you want to avoid having quick fixes that might backfire or have negative long-term outcomes. So, for instance, if a parent tells, let it slide and not have the child do their chores until they can't stand the mess anymore, the child can feel overwhelmed about the big mess now. And if parents nag, then they might get into a power struggle. So then if parents insist on perfection or having it done, their way, then children become discouraged or they get into power struggles as well. So, and if, then if parents clean and just take over doing it, the chore, children just learn, oh, they get a maid or a butler, and then they never learn to clean up for themselves. So, and then if parents restrict children until they finish the job, children can become resentful and may refuse to clean, or they become rebellious or become revengeful. And then some parents I've heard, I'm going to throw that toy away, or I'm going to throw it all out. So if you follow through and do that, then children learn it's okay to disrespect and destroy property because it's disposable, and then they may get revenge later on. So in general, most
So what is
children,
the key? So
well,
what
the
is
key
the
is
key
to,
to?
yeah, the key is to help them by teaching them skills. And most children, most young children, they haven't mastered the skill of cleaning yet. And then older children can know how to clean, but don't for usually one of those other reasons. They get revengeful or they're wanting to get in a power struggle. So, and then some children see their bedrooms as extensions of their identity and one area of their life that they can control. So, especially teenagers. So, parents of teens or tweens, you want to focus on bottom line limits. So, like having the room, a room that is safe to walk in and that doesn't have food or trash laying around.
So it's
And
okay
then,
to say, okay, we don't go out before we clean the room?
yes, you can say that. It's work before play, but also if it's taking hours on end, if you sent them out there by up there by themselves and it's taking hours on end for it to happen, then intervention needs to be taking place. So you want to brainstorm with them and say, hey, you know, what's taking so long? You know, what is there that's distracting you from picking up? And then brainstorm ways that might be more fun to pick up. Say, hey, we're on the music, and then see about cleaning up this corner of the room to, while this song is playing. And then when that song, the next song's on, we're going to move over to this corner of the room and see what we can get done. So trying to help make it a little bit more fun for them to be cleaning. So you want to take time to help them declutter and make space for organizing their rooms. And then discuss the value of organization and cleanliness. So instead of lecturing, you want to ask them helpful questions about, you know, why do you think it's a good idea to have a clean room? And let them answer. Find out and if they don't have an answer, you might suggest, well, would it be easier to find things quicker? Would it be safer to walk? Because you're not going to be accidentally, you know, stepping on a toy. It'd be less likely to break a toy when someone's walking into the room. Asking them some questions about why it's a valuable skill to have your room clean. And if children haven't mastered cleaning, you want to take time to teach skills, work together, and then gradually do less each time. And then letting children clean their own way, as long as it's safe and fairly quick and effective. So you may have a way that you would go about cleaning, but your child may want to do it a little bit differently. So allowing them to have that independence to choose which way they're going to do it, as long as it's getting the job done. And then if children don't know where to start, you can offer choices. So, you know, you can pick up the toys or dirty clothes first. So giving them a choice of what to start with. Do you want to put away each thing or do you want to make piles as you go? You know, and then helping them establish routines such as putting away toys before starting a new activity or picking up at the end of each day. Or maybe I know some parents who say, okay, before lunch we're going to pick up and before dinner we're going to pick up, or, you know, right after lunch or right after dinner, but having a routine of when we're all picking up together and trying to organize things around the house. And then when children are cleaning, you want to avoid nagging, complaining, or focusing only on what's not being done. You want to describe any effort, progress, or improvement that they have. So even if they are slow or ineffective, you want to ask them to show you what they've cleaned or what they see that's left to do. So instead of walking into a room and saying, oh my gosh, it doesn't look like you've got anything done, you can walk in and say, hey, what have you picked up so far? Or what else do you need to still finish before you can go outside to play? So asking those types of questions, maybe keeping them focused and on the task at hand. And then if you do all of those suggestions consistently for a couple of weeks and you still don't see progress, then you really want to do some more problem solving with your children. And you can ask how they feel about, you know, write it down and acknowledge the child's lack of interest or motivation. And share with them, you know, hey, I don't really enjoy it either. And if it's something you don't enjoy, there are some people do enjoy the cleaning. And really are excited when they get that all completed. Or even asking them, you know, how would it feel when you're completely done? And so then brainstorm ideas for resolving their issues of not being interested in cleaning or that it's boring. So you can So, or if they get distracted by a toy, for instance, that they want to play with, what can you do when you find a toy that you haven't played with for a while and you really want to play with it? What could you do when you still have the rest of the room to finish? Or what could you do if you don't know where to start? And then help them brainstorm ideas. Just keeping that line of communication open and making sure they do realize that it's grandma's rules that work before play. You want to choose a solution or a combination of ideas with your children that you both agree upon, and then you want to agree that you're not going to nag or remind, but just adjust, and then you'll need to adjust or change the plan if it's not working. So you want to decide who will do what and when, and then also you'll want to discuss what will happen if the chore doesn't get done. So what the consequence is. So the and the best consequences, the best options for consequences are logical. For instance, they can't have friends over in the house because it's too messy, or you can only wash clothes that are in the hamper on laundry day. So if they don't have their favorite shirt in the laundry basket on laundry day, then they'll just have to wait till the next laundry day to be able to wear their favorite shirt again. So that would be a logical consequence. So then after that, you just want to follow through consistently and just say, when you finished cleaning, you can, if they bring up wanting to do something else. So, and like again, you don't want to give children allowance for having, you don't want to dock the children's base allowance for having a messy room if you're getting a base allowance. Cleaning your room is just a responsibility of being a family member, and it's to contribute as part of the family team. And so that's basically with chores and allowance. And once you start having allowances tied to the chores, where you have that power struggle too about, well, I want more money to be able to do this other chore. So, any other questions right now about chores and allowances? I'm done. That is
No.
basically my
Yeah, none.
presentation for the chores and allowances. And
Excellent. Very nice. Very good.
if you have there are other resources about teaching children tidiness and that I can share, but right now I'm going to close the recording. And like I said earlier, if you have other questions or if we can serve you more, feel free to reach out and send an email to support@parentstoolshop.
Okay, can I ask you one more thing?
Yes,
Hello?
I'm trying to stop the recording.